Very early morning, June 13th, 2017, a bus is being loaded up with 33 prisoners at the state prison in Georgia. A little while after leaving, following a series of security issues, two convicts had escaped and two Georgia Department of Corrections officers were dead. I'm Brandon, and this is another episode of Music City 911. Thank y'all for coming back and listening to the new episode of Music City 911. In today's episode, I'm going to go over a prison escape that started in Georgia and ended up right in my neck of the woods in Tennessee. This episode, I'll say that I won't be talking much in it. I'll help where I can, but with the audio I have, the whole thing's pretty easy to follow. This episode is going to be heavy with 911 and police radio audio. I'll start with the initial 911 call that came in. Little note to begin this call, the quality is not good. In fact, it's very, very poor. I did what I could to make it sound a little bit better, but this was recorded not directly from the source, but from a courtroom microphone, so there's some background noise as well as some chatter. The quality really is pretty terrible, and some of it is just flat inaudible, but I'll go ahead and play it. As I said, very bad audio. Essentially what happened was the caller rolled up in his personal vehicle and saw the prison bus that was left out in the middle of the road with the door open. When he went up to inspect the vehicle, he found the corrections officers both killed, shot to death. I would go further into what happened there on the bus, but Fox 5 News out of Atlanta had an interview with one of the inmates that was actually on the bus when all of it went down. The story is all pretty shocking.
The Georgia Department of Corrections says two inmates took advantage of security mistakes and murdered two corrections officers. There were 31 other prisoners on the bus that fateful day. One of them sat down with Fox 5 iTeam reporter Randy Travis. Randy?
Yeah, Rustin Asenea. He asked us to call him Ringo and not show his face. A convicted burglar now on parole and a key state witness to a horrible crime that's prompted big changes in the way inmates are transported.
I heard Roe. He said, I got a long time. I might not ever get out again. He said, if I can make it happen, I'm going to try to escape today.
Talk is cheap, especially in a world of prison bars and steel shackles. But in the space of only a few seconds, Ringo would watch talk become tragedy. The June 2017 murders of Sergeants Chris Monica and Curtis Ballew.
They knew something was going on. You can just feel it in the atmosphere.
A Department of Corrections review blamed the murders on multiple security failures, starting before the sun ever rose on that fateful morning. Ringo boarded the prison bus before dawn, along with two inmates with violent histories. Ricky DuBose, who he knew only as Juvie, and Donnie Rowe, who everyone called Whiskey.
Did they have a real plan, or did they just seize an opportunity?
Seized an opportunity.
He says no one searched the 33 inmates after they boarded, allowing DuBose to smuggle in something, maybe a razor, he thinks, to pop his handcuffs, which were not double locked as policy required. Ringo says DuBose asked him to sit in the front seat as he quietly worked loose the shackles.
He was like, I just don't want no bullcrap in the seat with me. So that told me there that he was serious about trying to do what they have been discussing.
With DuBose sitting behind Monica, who was assigned to monitor the inmates, and Rowe moving up to sit behind Sergeant Ballew, who was driving, the pair was primed to make their move.
So you're hearing everything.
Oh, yeah. You hear everything. You hear stuff like that a lot, though, and you just don't think it's going to happen. You know, it's never has.
An outside investigation after the murders determined the guards failed to click the padlock in place that secured the main cage door. Ringo says the two men noticed immediately, and a few miles down the road from the prison, he says Rowe took a chance.
He actually tests Monica. He opens the door and lets him slam back shut. Monica kind of wakes up for a minute, and he's looking around, and Rowe says, you all right? He's like, yeah, I'm good. You all right? And he's like, yeah, I'm fine.
Those would be Sergeant Monica's final words.
So 3-4 minutes later, Monica's back with his head down, asleep. And Rowe just gathers up all his chains and everything. He opens the door and runs in and hits him upside his head.
From his front row seat, he watched the two men struggle, with Monica appearing to get the upper hand. But when Ballew slammed on the brakes, the pair toppled into the stairwell.
DuBose walks up into the compartment up there, and Rowe is able to throw him the gun box. And he just casually opens up the gun box, puts the clip in, loads it, and walks over there to Monica and fires multiple times.
And with Monica now dead, he says DuBose turned the .40 caliber Glock on the remaining officer.
DuBose turns to Sergeant Blue and he tells him, he says, you open them doors. And Sergeant Blue just looks up at him and he says, I can't do that. He shoots him twice.
A law enforcement source familiar with the investigation said it's impossible to tell on the security video whether Ballew said anything before he was shot. Ringo says he watched the pair kick out a window and within seconds steal a car at gunpoint that just happened to be passing by. The remaining inmates sat on that bus in the middle of Highway 16 for nearly a half hour. Two dead officers inside before someone driving by called authorities. The first to arrive, Putnam County Sheriff Howard Sills. Ringo says he forced the bus door open, stepped around the bodies, and addressed the inmates.
We got to find out where they're going. Do y'all have any idea where they're going? We're like, we're just as surprised as you are right this moment. We heard, but we didn't expect.
In fact, no one on the bus even knew the killers' real names. It would take 3 days of frantic searching before the pair turned up in Tennessee.
After the murders and the initial escape went down, the suspects in this carjacked a car and started driving north towards Tennessee, just like they said in the Fox 5 report. They were slow about the whole thing, staying out of sight when they could. Took them about 3 days to really slip up. Just down the road here in Middle Tennessee, between Murfreesboro and Shelbyville, in Bedford County, they decided they needed another vehicle.
Bo, County 911.
We've had an armed home invasion.
Can you give me a description?
It's two people from Georgia, escapees.
It is? What kind
they're
of vehicle is they in?
They're in a black Jeep Cherokee Trailblazer. They took my car. We need help out here quick.
Okay, listen to me.
Hurry.
Okay, did they have any weapons?
Oh, yes, handguns and both had handguns, high-powered handguns.
High-powered handguns, okay.
Yeah, they escaped from the prison in Georgia.
Okay. Do you know a direction of travel from?
We couldn't, we were tied up. We were all tied up. We just got loose.
You were tied up, right?
Oh, yes.
Did they injure you?
Not anything critical.
Okay, do you need an ambulance, honey?
No, I don't need an ambulance. Just get the police out here as quick as you can.
Okay, I have dispatched them. I'm going to keep you on the phone until they get there. Okay?
It's a black Cherokee Trailblazer. Has rails on the top.
Has rails? Is it a Cherokee Jeep?
It's a black Cherokee Trailblazer.
Okay, black Cherokee Trailblazer.
Please hurry as quick as you can.
They're on their way. Stay on the phone with me.
Yeah, I'll be out front looking for them. Sir, you survived. You survived. You did a good job. Come here and let me hold you.
Who lost there with you, honey?
That's my wife. It was just so close. That's all right.
Did they just come in?
Just as quick as you can.
Does she need an ambulance, time?
Oh, do you need an ambulance? No. No, we're all right. Just get the police out of here as quick as you can.
Okay, I've got them on their way to you.
Okay, I'm going to hang up.
All right. Thank you.
All right.
That's heartbreaking to hear, but I'm glad that those residents in the call, they weren't severely harmed or worse. These people, depending on how you look at it, they were both very unlucky as well as very lucky. As brazen as these convicts were in Georgia, it's surprising they didn't just kill the caller and his wife. But as you heard, another vehicle was taken. And as stated in court from these residents, they also took clothes, food, bandages, and watches. After trying to use the female resident's makeup to cover up tattoos and tying them together back to back and gagging them, they hopped in their vehicle and left. Now, I am very familiar with this area. I don't live too far away. I've driven that stretch of road dozens of times, if not more than that. At this point, the Bedford County Sheriff's Department put out a be on the lookout for the suspects, listing them in a new getaway vehicle. The suspects had turned around and headed back up Highway 231 towards the interstate. Just as the bolo was being put out, a Rutherford County deputy spotted the vehicle and got behind it. The next segment is quite a bit of audio from the police radio. Some codes are used, but it's pretty easy to figure out what's happening. Keep in mind that the radio system they're using, it's an older one than this. One that I've discussed on the show before during the episode with the amazing dispatcher from Chicago. You'll hear radio squelches off and on during the traffic, and at times you'll hear either some modulation or a random silence that you wouldn't think would be there. That's typically when more than one officer is trying to use their radio at the same time. It's not getting recorded right. You'll hear that from the dispatcher as well.
Advise you are behind the vehicle.
10-4.
Channel 1's closed for car 45. Car 68, car 63.
68, I'm around. From what I can tell, occupy times 1 right now. Can you confirm?
turn the tag on it for us, Jeff?
786 or Franklin.
Stay with it, keep us posted, and don't try to stop until we get some other people here with
you. Yeah, I'm direct. I'm backing off right now. 45 passing Christiana School.
Christiana School.
45, looked like it was a white male wearing a baseball cap, possibly blue, when you passed me. Can't advise for sure.
68 to 45, I won't be coming down South Church from 24.
63, I'm coming out on Joby.
Put his stage there at Joby without lights and sirens so we can get up to you. I don't want him to see y'all coming. 45, we're passing Rucker.
Passing Rucker.
68, make sure MPD knows there's traffic. Getting ready to come at them.
Hand 4, they're direct.
Meet you at Joby.
Coming up now, fixing my kill equipment.
10 4, Barrett, where are you?
Warrior coming up on 231.
10 4. Meet you, we keep going straight, following behind me, and we'll wait till we pass 68.
10 4, I'm here now. Where are you at, Gregor?
We're coming up to the red light at Church and Joby. We're going through the light. Still inbound.
10-4.
63, I'm standing behind him.
68-45, I'm right here at Kroger right now.
Looks like he's looking down at their console right now.
10-4. I'll fall in behind you right here and jump in. Duncan Donut.
10-4. 45, we got any word on the city? 2. He's getting in the left hand lane.
256 to 250.
5 to 60. Once you bound, we're going to have to go ahead and do this.
7. 112 Bedford County.
6745, I'm going to try to get set up on the interstate in case you hit the interstate.
Where are you at, 68? We're going to be taking a left on Caroline, making traffic stop on Caroline Drive.
Or 1081 Caroline Drive.
45, he ran through the light. Or headed inbound on Church.
Inbound on Church, so the light.
Number 2 car, I'll call it.
Unit 63, call it.
63, going through Indian Park, coming up on Warrior.
Indian Park.
63 speeds, 95, traffic heavy.
5, heavy traffic.
63, he's almost crashed out. 7. 63, he's down on 24.
Down on 24, 67 direct.
Yes, ma'am.
23 on direct, I'm with him.
63, speed.
Maybe he's on 767 direct.
63, speed 110, coming up on 84.
84.
23, notify THP of our traffic. Listen, Miller requesting assistance on this. Still eastbound I-24 to 84.
63. Speed's about 100. Traffic still medium. We're past the 84 eastbound.
Past 84. We'll get in touch with Coffee County.
45, 23, 10-4 to stick with us if it goes out of county.
Stay with him until THP joins up. Once THP joins up, let them take over.
Direct.
63, speed 114, traffic medium, still eastbound 24. 63, status the same. 63 is weaving in and out traffic pretty good. Traffic picking up a little bit, speed's about 100. 63, same status.
Direct.
63, coming up on 89.
89.
Pass.
Engine oil, 1.
Multiple units, 45, what was your traffic?
He's leaking transmission fluid all over the place.
63, we're coming up on the 90. 63, speed's about 100, traffic medium.
45, his rear glass is shattered. I don't know how it shattered, but it is.
10-4, rear glass shattered.
63, I think I hear shots fired.
4, shots fired.
SC4, SO, shots fired.
Shots fired.
You've got a subject in the back shooting out.
Subject shooting out of the back.
Stand by, they're stopping.
They're stopping.
Hey, it's a 91. Wrecked at the 91.
Yeah, that's a 91.
Well, seen on foot. They let blue shirts ran into the wood line. Shut down the interstate.
Multiple units, blue shirt and 91.
Everybody on scene, watch their six.
AB's on four. AB's on four.
Down past it. Barrett, get up here with me, one other person, let's challenge the vehicle. Officer, come here. 45, get a hold of Lee Young, go ahead and get some more canines out here.
One's in route.
4-1's in route.
13.
I'm
en route to a Volvo, see if HP's got air supporting, we're close.
37.
37.
I'm working on getting the other canines. Lee Young is not answering the phone.
Car 2.
Car 2, I'm in route.
Guys, watch the wood line. Watch your wood line.
45 to all units. We're approaching the vehicle.
Approaching the vehicle.
You got us on the map just that. All right, what's to the south of our position out in this field?
Stand by.
45. Can you not clear the car? We're going to approach it.
This is direct. Car 23.
Okay.
In relation to your vehicles, what location are you needing?
Well, it's south of us in this field. We're southwest of us in this field.
I'm not seeing.
You're showing open field, correct?
10-4, I'm not showing anything significant in the area.
10-4.
45 to 23.
Oh, yeah.
My vehicle's disabled. I think I caught a couple of rounds in the tire. Maybe the engine.
Check, 10-4. We'll get these rascals first. We'll do that in a minute.
Car 37 to 23.
Go ahead.
Matt should be on the way here in a minute. Scotty Martin, unavailable.
Check, careful.
13, direct.
Yes, continue to hold your position. Continue to watch this wood line right here. As soon as more reinforcements get here, we'll put that.
13 responding units. The queue is at the 90 mile marker. Backed up at the 90 mile marker. Use caution. Yeah, boy, as soon as they can advise, just give me a heads up. And let's get a clothing description out to all responding units.
For all responding units, subject's going to be in a blue shirt.
Yeah, so that's the one subject we saw on blue chart. There was one driving and another one shooting at us.
Got a hold of Ashburn and he's en route too.
Copy on that,
2K9. Units, you're walking on one another. Car 37, I copied Ashburn is en route. Car 13, TBI is en route.
10-9, your last truck.
TBI is en route.
Direct. Do we have CID en route also?
We'll give him a call.
504-13.
I'm the suspect. Last unit, you keep getting walked on. 504, please stand by. Other unit, go ahead with your traffic.
45, I need to give updated suspect information.
Be advised, Laverne PD has a D9 about this bill.
Barrett and Alford are moving up with their car for cover and trying to get this box truck out of the line of fire. There's one Glock handgun in the passenger seat. The long gun was taken if they had them.
So, break. We just got another update from Shelbyville PD. This is saying confirmed escapees from Georgia. Repeating, these are confirmed suspects, the escapees from Georgia.
45 to 23. Send me a unit to my location so I can get my canine ready.
Car 13.
Go 13.
Williamson County is willing to help with the helicopter.
Send it.
10-4.
Let them know we got THP in the air as well. They'll need to coordinate. They know how to handle that.
10-4.
40-23. Where are we at sitting up on perimeter on the closest road that they ran towards?
23, I have further information that's come through NCIC. Are you ready?
Stand by just a second. 45, go with your traffic again. I'm not sure if there is one. Possibly Pruitt Road or Hoover's Gap. Check that. Should be Miller Road off to our south here. Should be Miller Road. Yes, I go ahead with that additional traffic, go ahead.
Apparently both of these people have shaved their facial hair. One of them possibly has a bullet wound that they sustained in the escape from Georgia. One subject's going to be bruised and barefoot.
Also be advised, when we cleared the vehicle, there is one handgun in the vehicle. We did not find another one that they were supposed to be armed with.
For be advised, Georgia now has a helicopter that's on its way.
Direct.
37 to 23 or 13.
Go.
The only one I ain't called yet is Harwell. Matthew be there here in a couple minutes. You need me?
10-4. 13 does so.
13.
Call the county. I need I-24 westbound shut down at their county line. I don't want any more traffic up here westbound after it clears.
42, you got my call, Chef?
10-9, your last.
Coffee County is also willing to provide canines.
Tell them to have on standby. We may need them. We're going to utilize our canine teams first. I've got four in route, 10-4.
TBI 212, can you give me the location of that incident, please? 10-4, on route. TBI 212, what's the closest exit name for 91?
23.
I'm sure the interstate's jacked up. Can we get down the left or right shoulder?
I'm not sure if it's THP or who it is. We've got a marked unit with lights and blue lights on approaching us on the eastbound side coming from the 97 area. If we can let them know that they're coming right into the area where we can see suspects are.
And so to all units, subject's going to be in the backyard of 9427 Pruitt Road, 9427 Pruitt Road.
42, we're...
that way. SOS at Maryville again.
2427 Pruitt Road. They're walking toward our complainant now with their hands up in the air. They've taken their shirts off.
Yeah, so exactly where is that?
Our complainant is actually in his vehicle. We're telling him to do whatever he needs to do to be safe. We're trying to get him to leave if he can.
Yeah, so where's Pruitt?
Pruitt, Street Canada Hoover Gap before you get to Manchester.
It's going to be about 1 mile down on the right.
23, get that caller to give you the description of his vehicle in case they get it.
Units, we've got a couple of THP units coming through the scene. Watch your back.
5 to 14. 5 to 14.
That's control, pad 24 here.
SO break. Those two subjects are going into the residence. There is going to be a 12-gauge shotgun inside the house with 5 rounds in it. Complainant's in a silver Ford Expedition.
Copy. Suspects are entering the house. Armed firearms in the house. Our caller's in a Ford Expedition.
Okay. 10-4, disregard on them going in the house. They've laid on the ground, face down.
13 to all other units on the scene.
10 copy, half mile out, Pruitt. Just confirming, two suspects only, 10-4.
Two suspects only. They're walking down the driveway.
5-53, we're about 2 minutes out.
5-53, 2 minutes out.
Or how far down Pruitt is this location?
561, confirming 9427 Pruitt, 9427.
9427, it's going to be a long gravel driveway. They're about 1,300 feet off the drive.
Car 10.
Car 10.
Where is instant command set up?
90.8 eastbound. To go.
Again.
To go ahead.
410, I'm on Pruitt. I'm in 97 to address.
10-4-97 at 9427, car 10, it's going to be 90.8 east.
10-4, do we have a sighting already?
Just approaching 9427, Pruitt, where they're supposed to be.
10-4, 9427, what?
I didn't get one.
I think so. 462, it's down 4, got them prone down.
Have one more to see, Todd, Ms. Oldham.
42, 10-15 times 2.
10-15 times 2.
Car 10 to Deputy Van.
Go ahead.
Give me a call ASAP on my phone, please.
10-4, I gotta get back to my truck.
Is it the two suspects in question?
That's 10-4, it's confirmed.
10-4. What's the address you're at, Joey?
I believe it's 9427 Pruitt. It's a long gravel driveway off the right.
I see you, direct. So go ahead and alert the air support units en route to stand down, please.
I have to start off directly after all that by complimenting the dispatch team. Starting with the actual dispatcher you heard on the radio, she did a great job. She kept calm during this chaos, and that likely helped her deputies keep calm as well. Even when the shooting started, they were pretty calm. The info on this coming from out in the field, it was being passed along and received, just like the deputies were sitting right there next to her. That's how easy it was for the dispatcher. She had zero problems keeping up with all of this, even with all the madness happening. But that wasn't completely her doing, though. I know both from my own experience, as well as listening closely in the background of this, that the other dispatchers that were there on duty, they were working their tails off, making all the extra calls to other agencies, trying to line up other canine and helicopters, notifying their original agencies, etc. Something as big as this, It takes more than just a single hand. That dispatch team, they did some amazing work that day. Huge compliments are in order for them. Moving past that, though, and working our way back to the beginning of the police radio traffic, imagine hearing a be on the lookout from a neighboring county for an armed escape prisoner, two of them actually, that had murdered corrections officers and just got finished doing a home invasion robbery and then getting right behind that vehicle. Talk about an adrenaline rush that officer probably had. I'm about 99% sure that he knew that they weren't going to stop and that they were very dangerous. From both the deputy's shoes as well as the dispatcher's, when someone starts shooting at officers, that takes the whole thing to an even higher level. I'm guessing that after they got on foot, one of a few things likely happened. There was talk that they had found one gun in the car, but believed that they may have had more than one. They could have still been armed. What I believe happened was that they had a limited ammo supply, pretty much just what they had stolen off the prison bus. They probably fired everything they had at police and then decided they weren't going to outrun them in a vehicle and decided to get out on foot. Now, I'll tell you, I remember a lot of this happening in real time. I wasn't working that day, and my phone was going a mile a minute with people sending me messages saying police were chasing these guys and that they may be headed my way. I didn't know exactly the area of the county that they were in initially, but I wasn't going to take any chances. I've told y'all before that in general, I'm usually armed one way or another. I decided to have at the ready some better fighting options at this point. A pistol wasn't going to be quite enough, so I grabbed a rifle. I'll come back around to that in a minute, though. Anyway, two convicts like this, they take off on foot and hear a number of things buzzing around. You have at this point police sirens pretty much coming at you from all directions, officers yelling, police canine, and from what it sounded like, up to four teams of them at least, and then past that, at least one, but likely more than one helicopter flying overhead. After all that, they may have just decided to give up. Now, I said I'd come back around to me arming up. Luckily, it was on the other side of the county from me. I heard that after listening to my radio as they were going further away on the interstate. But they did end up in someone's driveway, and two neighbors both held them at gunpoint until deputies could arrive and take them into custody without any further incident to the police or the neighbors that helped hold them. Goes to show you, you should always be alert and on the ready. You never know when literal escape murderers might show up in your yard. Us Tennessee folk, which for those of you that didn't know, we're called the volunteer state. We'll jump into action when we can and need to, even in an instance like this where the neighbors put themselves into harm's way to try to help stop these guys. These convicts, Donnie Rowe and Ricky DeVose, they were both in prison already for a number of offenses, and both were going to be locked up for a long time. Believe it or not, the trial for these new charges, they haven't even finished completely yet. This all happened back in 2017. Donnie Rowe, he was convicted in September of 2021 and sentenced to life in prison with no chance of parole. Prosecutors were seeking the death penalty, and for good cause. But because there were questions involving his actual role in the killing, jurors, after deliberating for about 8 hours over the course of 2 days, they weren't unanimous in their deciding in the death penalty, seeing if it was appropriate. So he was issued another life sentence without parole. He was already serving the same sentence, so really nothing else happened for him. Ricky DeVose, his trial is separate and not supposed to even start until May of this year, 2022. Past that, for any new listeners as well as any veteran listeners that haven't done it yet, Be sure to head over to Facebook and join the Music City 901 podcast discussion group. And also like the main page at Music City 901 Pod. I put out a lot of info about cases I can't cover on the show there in that discussion group. And those that are in the group will tell you, I put a lot of crazy police-related videos on there. Also follow on Twitter and Instagram, both at Music City 901, and jump over to TikTok and send me some likes and follows. I'm behind on the videos, I know, and I'll get some new content going soon, but I've been keeping busy with some other Music City 901 stuff behind the scenes, which I hope I can talk a little bit more about in the next little bit. Kind of exciting news. Until next time, for Music City 901, I'm Brandon, and y'all have a good one.